City Council come back from recess. Today is still Wednesday. It is 2 p.m. and it is Leap Day, February 29th, 2012. Hi, Carla.
Hello.
How was lunch?
Oh, very good.
Good. Can you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard. Adams.
Here. Can you please read time certain item number 2 o'clock time certain item number 205?
Accept Commissioner in Charge and Portland Police Bureau's annual report regarding the Portland Police Bureau's participation with the Federal Bureau of Investigations Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Thank you. Chief and Ellen, or Chief, come on up. So before the City Council, as required by resolution 36859, before the City Council is the annual report on the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the City's policy for working with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I'll go through briefly my report and then turn to the Chief, then have questions and then testimony, and then further Council discussion. We approach this annual report with a great deal of care, seeking to provide as much information, and actually in some cases more information that is strictly called for in the resolution, but doing so because it sets a precedence for the annual reporting. So we sought to be as clear as possible. We asked folks for comment. Some folks in the room provided us comment, and that definitely improved the report, the initial drafts of the report to the documents that you have in front of you. And I would note there is a substitution that we just passed out today. The reports, the Chief and I decided to make sure that the reports included an affirmation so that this wasn't only a conveyance of what we had done, but it also is a higher level in our mind of affirming that, in addition to what we're reporting, that we are following the resolutions, we are following state law. So that's why they are noted in an affirmative basis. We also sought to provide the information that was that would allow folks to get a sense of how we were striking that balance between preventing terrorism, but also to protect people's legal rights and to keep the city an open community, open society. So those were what we worked on as part of this. And just going through mine very briefly, we consulted. The Chief did consult with me as required when the opportunity to work with the FBI presented itself. He did provide, even though I've applied for it, but don't yet have secret clearance, he was able to provide to me a level of detail on the kind of issue that pertained to the request, the status that the request was in, and he'll talk about that in greater detail. A sense of what it might require in terms of our resources. And I felt that I had the information I needed to provide the kind of oversight of the police bureau required of me in this situation and all situations. We also had the active dialogue with the city attorney on issues leading up to gathering information about this report, including when the chief asked the city attorney, and in this case it was Ellen and not Dave, and that was an intentional request on our part. Dave Warbrow does the day-to-day sort of advice, legal advice giving for the police bureau. Ellen does work on police bureau issues. She was instrumental in helping the council put together the resolution, and because of that sort of one step away and also her knowledge on putting together the and knowing the legislative intent, we asked her to question folks involved working with JTF and to question them independently without us in the room, anyone in the room, and she then reported the results of that inquiry, both directly and independently to the chief and independently and directly to me as well. Chief will describe the secret clearance in terms of my application for secret clearance. Those folks that have received the clearance up to this point had some experience with clearance in the past. My clearance is a brand new file, and they have to go back over almost a quarter century of work in public service, and it takes time, as they described it to me. It was important to the chief, and I affirmed, and I thought it was a good concern to have, that we have as many people as have the clearance and as he has assigned to the work on work with the JTTF, that those, that more than one person, that the collection of people attending the meeting helped to ensure communication amongst folks in the Portland Police Bureau, and it allowed for listening to potential requests or just information from the FBI, hearing more than, having more than one set of ears and eyes and thoughts on those requests. The chief thought that was a positive thing in terms of being able to strike that balance, have more than just one person being critically analyzing requests that came in. I know there's been some comments on that. I concurred based on my 18 years or so, whatever it is, 16 years, working with the FBI on related issues. I thought having those dialogues happen with more than one person and hopefully with all folks in the room was actually a positive thing. In terms of the 30 days, within 30 days after any change in personnel and positions, my position, the chief's position, special agent in charge of the U.S. Attorney General, that we would get together. We did that. We missed a 30-day deadline once, and it was 60 days, and that was because of, with the new U.S. Attorney, and that's because of the holidays, but we fulfilled that obligation, even if with one person it was U.S. Attorney 30 days late. And I get regular briefings from the FBI. The requirement is that there be at least, those briefings at least be twice a year. I've had more than two briefings in the, since this resolution was passed. I'd be happy to answer any questions from the initial questions from the City Council on my report before I turn it over to the Chief. All right, Chief.
Mayor Adams and Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to come before you today. A little over a year ago, this community embarked on a conversation about how to keep all of us safe from the threats of terrorism while also protecting the civil liberties of Portlanders. It became clear during the course of that conversation that the communication between the Portland Police Bureau and the Federal Bureau of Investigation was not as robust as required to meet community expectations regarding the sharing of information on terrorist threats. It was equally as clear that the Police Bureau was not at the table when discussions took place at the Joint Terrorism Task Force regarding investigations in Portland that involved potential threats to our safety. After careful deliberation and much public input, Council directed the Police Bureau to reengage in the Joint Terrorism Task Force so that as these discussions on terrorism took place, we would be aware of potential threats to our community and be a resource when appropriate to assist in these investigations. Today, I am pleased to provide our first report to Council detailing our efforts to keep the community safe while protecting the civil liberties of Portlanders. And here are a few highlights from the report. There is improved communication and cooperation between the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Portland Police Bureau. I have met regularly with the special agent in charge and have received briefings on threats of terrorism to our community. The mayor and I have met regularly to discuss our involvement in investigations with the JTTF. The mayor and I have also met, as the mayor indicated, with the special agent in charge of the FBI and the U.S. Attorney for the State of Oregon to discuss Resolution 36859. I have attended the Joint Terrorism Task Force executive meetings, where I have received additional briefings on global threats from terrorism. I have also directed, and he has joined me, Assistant Chief of Investigations Eric Hendricks, and our Lieutenant Larry Baird, who's in charge of the Criminal Intelligence Unit, to also attend these briefings. The Lieutenant in charge of the Criminal Intelligence Unit meets frequently with his counterparts in the JTTF to discuss ongoing investigations. I have identified appropriate personnel resources in the Criminal Intelligence Unit to assist, when appropriate, on investigations with a criminal nexus involving the JTTF. I have implemented strong, multi-level, and redundant oversight of the officers who work with the JTTF. Our officers have conformed to all Oregon revised statutes, and they have received training from the city attorney on these statutes and the requirements in Resolution 36859, which allows for our participation in JTTF investigations. During the course of our participation with the JTTF, I have personally met with the assigned officers and have overseen their investigative work. I have also assigned the lieutenant in charge of the Criminal Investigations Unit, Lieutenant Baird, to directly supervise these officers and confirm that their work meets all federal, state, and city requirements. In summary, I believe due to this information sharing and collaborative relationship that we are in a better position to provide safety to the people who live, work, and visit our city than we were a year ago. I hope you will continue to support our participation in the JTTF as we provide the very best services to our community. Thank you very much.
Initial conversation. We'll also have a time available after we have public comment. All right, let's go to public comment, unless you'd like to add anything. Would you like to add anything?
No, Mayor Adams. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all very much. If you'd please
thank
stand
you.
By. How many people have signed up? Oh, I move the substitute.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Please call the vote on the substitute.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitute is the basis of further consideration. Can you please? Oh, we'll have a momentary time for reflection. How many people have signed up?
Like four.
Okay. We can invite all four up then.
Dan Handelman, Mary McWilliams, Jim Kennedy, and Ashley Albies.
And Dave Fedanke. So Dave will be the fourth person, and Ashby will get you in the second round. Sorry.
Mayor, was the substitute distributed to the public to have these folks seen it?
On the website. It was put on the website last night. Yep. They've seen it, I think.
And there were copies passed out earlier, Commissioner.
Would you like to begin, Mr. Fedanke?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And
I've given Mr. Fedanke, because of the extensive role that the ACLU has played on this issue over the years, I've given him 10 minutes as a courtesy.
Thank you. For the record, I'm David Fedanke, Executive Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon. You'll all recall, I believe, that we appeared before you last April in support of the council resolution. We supported the resolution despite a high degree of concern because the FBI operates under very different guidelines and policies than the city of Portland and other law enforcement agencies in Oregon. We considered this resolution the continuation, not the end, of an ongoing conversation regarding the appropriate boundaries and safeguards for the police bureau's task of protecting the safety of all Portland residents, workers, and visitors, while at the same time complying with and respecting the constitutional and statutory rights of individuals and organizations. We'll not repeat the well-documented and ongoing abuses by the FBI of the constitutionally protected activity of law-abiding American citizens and residents. We will, however, note that we are most appreciative that Portland and Oregon are 3,000 miles away from the city of New York. There, it has been the New York City chief of police and mayor who have authorized widespread surveillance and collection of information on the lawful activities of Muslim Americans and Muslim student organizations, not just in New York, but in New Jersey and Connecticut as well. And I will provide counsel with a copy of a February 22nd Associated Press article that broke that story. That's this February 22nd. Last year, we set out very specific expectations we had for the annual reports on the city's relationship with the JTTF and the FBI, and we urged the mayor and police chief to put systems in place that would ensure both that the terms of the resolution would be honored and that Portland would be a model of transparency. We were not only very disappointed by the first set of draft reports that were placed on the city's website February 13th, but alarmed by what those reports did and did not include. Last Thursday, we circulated a 20-page analysis of those drafts that led us to conclude that several important safeguards of the resolution were not being followed. We therefore, at that time, urged Council to suspend its cooperation with the JTTF until our questions could be answered and the city's practices made to conform with the resolution and Oregon law. Since we released that analysis, a second draft of the chief's report was released Friday afternoon that clarified some points. And this week, Andrea Meyer and I had the opportunity to engage in extensive discussions with the mayor regarding our concerns and questions. As you know, additional revisions have now been made to both the mayor and chief's report, and they were released last night. The current reports before you are much closer to what we had envisioned, and we very much appreciate the responsiveness of the mayor and Chief Reese to our concerns. Before I list our remaining concerns, I want to specifically identify the concerns we had last week that have now been addressed in the final reports. While the initial drafts were silent on the city's process for review of the FBI requests, and specifically the role of the mayor in conferring on those requests, the revised reports state clearly that the chief personally reviewed each and every request for assistance, and in direct consultation with the mayor, as commissioner in charge of the police bureau, ensured that each FBI request was consistent with the requirements of the resolution and of Oregon law and city policies prior to authorizing any police bureau involvement. While the initial drafts were silent on the investigative status of the FBI inquiries at the time the requests were made of PPB, the revised reports state that as part of the chief's determination, he reviewed the stage of the investigation and specifically whether the inquiries were FBI assessments, preliminary investigations, or full investigations. Knowing the stage of the FBI inquiry at the time of the request is critical for the chief, the mayor, and the city attorney to analyze whether PPB involvement is permissible under Oregon law and under the resolution. While the initial drafts were silent on the chief's interaction with the city attorney upon receiving and evaluating a request from the FBI, the revised reports state that the chief will proactively consult with the city attorney before accepting any request if he has any doubts whether the request complies with Oregon law and the resolution. While the initial reports noted that neither the chief nor the mayor had yet obtained their required security clearance from the FBI, the revised reports clarify that each has still been able to access all necessary information needed to properly evaluate the requests and maintain the proper chain of command within the police bureau. While the initial reports only noted that the mayor had sought but not yet received secret clearance, the revised reports affirm that the mayor has been able to confer with both the chief and the city attorney and state the mayor's expectation that all future commissioners in charge of the police bureau will seek such clearance immediately upon appointment. While the initial reports identified that various members of PPB were involved in JTTF activity or oversight, they failed to identify what type of FBI clearance they had. The revised reports provide the current level of FBI clearance for all personnel involved and clarify that the two CIU officers, the assistant chief of the investigations branch, and the lieutenant of the CIU all have secret security clearance, and none hold top secret clearance, which some of them had had in the past. While the initial reports identified the availability of the city attorney to answer any questions the CIU officers may have, the initial drafts did not indicate whether the city attorney had or ever would be contacted. The revised reports make clear that the city attorney will proactively approach the officers about their work in future, and those officers will also be expected to proactively approach the city attorney with questions. While the initial reports noted that the officers are aware they can report potential or actual violations to the chief, the revised reports clarify that the officers have been able to freely share information and seek advice from the city attorney and are expected to reach out in the future. While the initial reports did not discuss how the city attorney's office staffed its work related to the resolution, the revised reports clarify that the mayor, to ensure multiple levels of oversight, assigned two separate city attorneys, one for day-to-day advice and the second for purposes of training and oversight to ensure the terms of the resolution are being followed. In addition, the chief, in preparation for this report, had that city attorney independently question the officers to verify their activities over the past 10 months and had the attorney provide that report to himself and the mayor. There are additional improvements to the reports, and I will provide those to you, but in the interest of time, I won't go through all of it now. I do want to spend a few minutes talking about what is still missing from this report that we hope will be included in the future. There is no data in this report indicating either the number of investigations or the types of investigations, at what stage of the FBI inquiries the Bureau was asked to work with the JTTF, and the total number of hours the investigating CIU officers worked on terrorism inquiry. We believe all of this information is important, but we believe the most critical is for the city to disclose the number and types of inquiries in which our officers have participated. We noted in our memo distributed to you last week that the FBI itself has released the number of assessments it initiated related to terrorism investigations between March 2009 and March 2011. Of those 42,000, almost 43,000 assessments, more than 95% were closed without ever reaching even the preliminary investigation stage. And I believe you all may recall from our presentation to you last year that it is only full investigations that require a factual predicate towards a specific individual group or organization that is the target of an FBI inquiry or investigation. We believe that if the FBI request is made at the assessment or preliminary investigation stage, it should automatically trigger heightened inquiry by the chief, the commissioner in charge, and should also trigger active involvement of the city attorney to ensure that the city's involvement violates neither the resolution nor Oregon law. For all we know, that may have occurred, but it isn't in the report. Especially because the criminal nexus standard of the resolution is undefined and fuzzy, it is critical that the public and council know how many inquiries PPB officers have participated in and at what stage. We understand there are what we hope are unique circumstances that led the mayor and chief to conclude that that data should not be included in this year's report. We hope before the council accepts these reports, you will ensure that there are systems in place that would require the tracking of that information on a permanent basis and that would allow for that data to be included in future reports if it would not compromise the security of the investigations. The ACLU wants to ensure that no matter how many layers of oversight are implemented internally, the public and other interested parties will be provided enough independent factual information in future reports to leave no doubt that the resolution, Oregon law, and the Constitution are not only being adhered to, but also honored. Thank you very much.
So the suggestion to require tracking on a permanent basis, are you suggesting that there would be a reporting in 5 years of what was done this year?
Requesting specifically that a permanent log be kept by the chief of all requests that are made by the FBI related to terrorism, that log include the stage of the inquiry under FBI on the FBI's classifications at the time the request was made, and the determination of whether or not the police bureau would be authorized to participate or not.
And would that ever be public record?
We would hope that it would be, that cumulative log would be disclosed in future reports as soon as there are enough reports that it would not raise the same concerns that the mayor and the chief had this year. We think those concerns were overly conservative, given that the FBI itself is releasing much of this data on a nationwide basis. And we think it should have been included this year. But we want to be sure that it can be included in future years. If there is no log kept, then you might have a situation in any 1 year that the same judgment would be made. But if the cumulative data were kept, then we would hope sooner rather than later that data could be shared with the public.
And if that were to be done, would the ACLU support acceptance of this report as amended?
I think it would depend on what the data shows.
No, for this, given that we don't have it this year.
And one of the things I didn't read from my prepared testimony was that if, for example, 100% of the inquiries were at the full investigation stage, then everyone could be assured very easily that Oregon law and the resolution were complied with, because for full investigations, reasonable suspicion is required by the FBI, and that is the standard for under state law for law enforcement agencies to be involved in surveillance or collection of information about the political, religious, or social activities of individuals, organizations, or groups.
But given that we don't have that in this report, is ACLU recommending acceptance of it?
We're neutral. We're not opposing your acceptance of it.
That doesn't help me. I'm not allowed to vote neutral.
We don't feel confident urging acceptance of these reports without that additional information.
Thank you.
But Mr. Fedanke, you would agree that regardless at what level of investigation, Oregon law and this resolution still applies, right?
Yes. The point I was just trying to make, Mr. Mayor, is that if you flipped my hypothetical and all of 100% of the inquiries involved assessments as categorized by the FBI, then we would want to be sure that extra steps were being taken. We very much appreciate the information that is in the reports. We're just pointing out they're not perfect yet.
Mr. Fedanke, I have a question if I could. I appreciate very much your testimony sort of going point by point as to what has been revised in the new resolution. You began by alluding to press reports about what's happening in New York City, which has been well reported. And I guess it I think it's a fair question to therefore ask, since you've alluded to circumstances in another jurisdiction where you believe people's constitutionally and statutorily protected rights have been violated. I think it's fair to ask you, during the time that we have operated under this revised protocol, do you have any actual knowledge of whether anyone's had their statutory constitutional rights violated by the city or its agents?
We do not. And we take very seriously the affirmations that are included in these reports by the mayor and the chief.
Fair enough. Thank you.
So I guess, Dave, what is your position about the assistant chief for investigations, the lieutenant of CIU, the chief, and the mayor having secret versus top secret? You mentioned that some in the past have had top secret. Now they have secret. Is that a good thing from your perspective?
That is a very important fact that is included in these reports, because the reason that the resolution included requirement for the chief to have top secret clearance and for the mayor to have secret clearance, the commissioner in charge, was to ensure that the entire chain of command had at least the same level of clearance, at least through the chief, as any of the individual officers. As long as it remains the case that no officer has greater than secret clearance, it may not be necessary for the chief to have top secret, secure compartmentalized clearance, but is still a good thing for him to have once it's approved. Because if in future a decision is made that the CIU officers need to be able to have unescorted access to FBI headquarters, to FBI offices, they would be required to have that top secret, secure compartmentalized clearance again.
Okay. And if I might also answer, I think I also compare the work Portland Police Bureau and FBI prior to Tom Potter becoming mayor, and the top secret clearance, which would allow for, and the practice at that time would allow for Portland police officers to basically get up in the morning and go to work in the FBI offices. And I think it really wore away at, with the best of intentions of everyone involved, in the real world, it sort of wore away at the chain of command. And so requiring escorted, not just, they can't just use the keys and walk into the FBI office, I think allows for us to work with them without, and while at the same time maintaining the chain of command with us. That's just my own opinion of it.
And I agree, Ms. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hi, and thanks for your feedback on all the drafts. We really appreciate them. Hi, welcome. Actually, oh, you're next? Okay, sorry, Mr. Handelman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering if I could get 5 minutes, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and last week we and a number of other community groups sent a letter outlining ways in which the JTTF reports from the mayor and chief failed to bring clarity around the activities of the Portland police working with the FBI. While a few changes were made since then, the reports are still too vague, and Portland Cop Watch continues to oppose the renewed relationship between the Bureau and the JTTF, particularly while the meaningless criminal nexus language guides which cases our local officers work on. For example, the chief added to his report that he has examined each case to see whether the criminal nexus fit the terms of the resolution. What he doesn't say is whether each case involved reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, as defined in ORS 181575, or whether any of the cases were assessments or preliminary investigations. The chief also revealed that he, the assistant chief of investigations, Hendricks, and lieutenant of criminal intelligence unit, who we know is Lieutenant Baird, and the two officers all have secret clearance. This gives the community different information from the previous report, in which he said he was only applying for top secret clearance, but he did not reveal that he already had secret clearance. The chief also updated the report to state the city attorney's training includes pointing out the difference between the FBI's guidelines to open investigations and the resolution and Oregon law. This kind of specificity is what is seriously lacking elsewhere in the reports. For example, they say that the city attorney, who has not been asked to sign a non-disclosure agreement, has received unfettered access to ample information in order to assess compliance with Oregon law. They do not say how many consultations occurred or what kinds of issues were raised. The reports say the officers have been assigned on an as-needed basis, but the chief argues that disclosure of the number of cases or hours worked would be likely to compromise ongoing investigations. It makes no sense that revealing how many cases or hours worked with the JTF will jeopardize specific investigations if the subjects of those investigations are not named. Given the tight budget constraints facing the city that could force as much as 8% cuts, the public has a right to know how many hours our officers are being used to work on this task force. The reports say the city attorney has been briefed but not asked to sign a confidentiality statement. Does that mean the city attorney is assuming client lawyer privilege, or can that office tell us more details? The mayor states that he has been provided with status reports on terrorist threats in the Portland area, leaving only a vague idea of how much contact and influence the FBI's increased focus on terrorism is diverting our officers from solving local crimes. Similarly, the mayor and chief each report having received more than two briefings from the FBI but refused to be more specific about how many meetings they had. This information is important because the event that relaunched the city's participation in the task force, the Holiday Tree bomb scare of 2010, was in many community members' minds a setup orchestrated by the FBI. About a half dozen similar sting operations have been executed in other cities since that time. These cases of entrapment serve to bolster the FBI and demonize Muslim Americans in the eyes of those who don't know the FBI's history of subterfuge, but do nothing to actually keep our country safe. On that subject, we are curious why the chief's report includes a definition of act of war when describing what federal laws are around domestic and international terrorism. The letter also asked whether Portland police were exposed to any biased training about Muslims that the FBI was giving, as documented in September and updated on February 15th by Wired magazine. We would like an answer to that question. The report that all CIU officers receive training around limits of Oregon law is welcome, but we all hope that they have been receiving and training on an ongoing basis, regardless of the city's affiliation with the JTTF. In 1996, in the Squirrel versus City of Portland lawsuit, the city was ordered to review all files generated by the CIU for compliance with Oregon law every 2 months and again every 2 years. We asked the council, how is the vague information in this report supposed to make us feel that the Portland police are working on arresting people who are actually involved in self-motivated attempts to harm human lives for political ends? How should we, as a group which has been spied on at least twice by the Bureau's Criminal Intelligence Unit, whose officers are now working with the JTTF again, be reassured by the fact that the council and the chief are allowed to interpret criminal nexus one way when the FBI can interpret it another way? We still feel the entire relationship is very disconcerting and requires too much secrecy in a state and city supposedly devoted to open public records. It's indicative of how secretive the entire relationship is that the names of the assistant chief, deputy city attorney, lieutenant, and officers are not included in the report, even though they were spoken aloud in council today, and even though the officers' names were all included in the ordinance on the JTTF that was passed in the year 2000. The lieutenant of the CIU's name was given on the cover sheet of that ordinance. Leaving out details only leads to speculation and mistrust in the community. If the cost of working with the FBI means turning our police force into a closed cloak-and-dagger operation which flies in the face of the idea of community policing, we continue to say is not worth the price. And just as a reminder, we're not speaking for these other groups, but the other groups that raised a lot of these questions in the letter last week were the Portland JACL, Martin Gonzalez from the Portland School Board, the Lawyers Guild, the League of Women Voters, Communications Workers of America, and the Arab Muslim Policing Advisory Council, and some of those folks are here today.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I'm Mary McWilliams, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League believes that democratic government depends on informed and active participation and that governmental bodies must protect the public's right to know. Over the years, we have supported transparency and accountability in the city's relationship with the FBI, JTTF. As an organization that promotes an active and informed public, we value the protections afforded by Oregon law to individuals engaging in political and other non-criminal First Amendment activities. Federal guidelines do not require reasonable suspicion of criminal activity before the initiation of preliminary investigations or assessments. It is for this reason that community organizations, including the League, have encouraged the city to work with the JTTF on a case-by-case basis. The resolution adopted last April was intended to build in safeguards for the reestablished relationship between the city and the FBI. The annual reports were an important provision, and we appreciate the information added last night, but have outstanding questions. And these are the questions. Have police bureau members participated in any assessments or preliminary investigations? If so, what portions of the hours devoted to JTTF work were spent on these types of cases? How many hours have our officers devoted to their JTTF assignments? To what extent is that affecting work on local public safety? How many cases require their involvement, and how many are closed? How did the mayor participate effectively in the management and supervision of bureau staff when he does not have security clearance? And thank you for addressing that at the beginning of your remarks today, but it's still a good question. Recent news stories about the detention in Tunisia of longtime Oregon residents who are U.S. citizens and members of the Portland Islamic Center bring to life the public's concerns. It appears from reporting in the Oregonian that the detentions were intended to pressure these men into spying on members of their religious community. We have no way to know if our local officers were involved in those cases at any level. We ask Council to insist that the final reports to these questions and others raised here today be considered. The League also recommends requiring the City Attorney and Independent Police Review Director to regularly review all JTTF files created with Portland police officers' participation. Any files collected in violation of Oregon law should be purged. Periodic review by those independent parties would provide confirmation to the public that the protections built into Oregon law are being honored. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Sir.
Hi, I'm Jim Kennedy with the Arab Muslim Police Advisory Committee. Thank you for hearing my words today. Last year when the city council was taking up the idea of rejoining the JTTF, we met with you and expressed concerns about effects on the community trust of the Portland Police Bureau and city government in general. And unfortunately, I'm here to report today that community trust has in fact been impacted. The level of participation in AMPAC has waned. Not due to any particular actions of the Portland police, but just in the more general associations with the FBI and the recent incidences with Mr. Ellaby and Tarhuni have only raised those suspicions and impacted the community's trust and desire to participate in civic activities. So with regards to the report, I would request that the additional level of information that has been requested for future reports regarding the number of investigations and the types of investigations that the Portland Police Bureau is participating in would be somewhat helpful to the Arab and Muslim community in terms of understanding the more specific role that the Portland Police Bureau plays in these activities, but clearly the community is not trustful of the FBI and their activities, and the JTTF only stains the reputation of the Portland Police Bureau with the community at large at this time. So again, with regards to moving forward, I would ask that the information that's been asked here, the additional information, be included in future reports. Thank you.
And is it your understanding that we've rejoined the JTTF?
It is my understanding that we have established a formal relationship with the FBI through this JTTF resolution. I would say that the community's understanding is not as refined as mine.
Thank you. Appreciate all your testimony.
I had a question for Ms. McWilliams, I guess.
Sure. Thank you.
So, I follow the news pretty closely, so I was surprised to hear the statement you made that it appears that from the reporting that the detentions in Tunisia of longtime Oregon residents were intended to pressure these men into spying on members of their religious community. So where did that come from? Because I never
I asked that question, too. Debbie Iona prepared the report, and I asked her to confirm what newspaper, and she said it was in the Oregonian. May I defer this to Debbie?
Well, or maybe you can just provide me with the date.
With the reference.
Yeah.
All right.
In the Oregonian.
Thank you all very much. We'll give Debbie an opportunity to come up and say her piece. And thank you all for your testimony and your time and your input into the final report. So anyone else that wishes to testify, if you'd please come forward, member of the public. Ms. Iona, maybe we could start with you. And
I think it'll take me about 2 seconds because I certainly don't have the date memorized. What I will do is go home and do my best to use the terrible Oregonian website and find that article, and I'll send it to you. Okay. And Ashley says she remembers reading the same thing.
And again, I don't recall the date, but I recall reading about it and having that same thought go through my head of the questioning was regarding their other members of their religious community and that being of great concern.
Okay. Ashley.
So my name is Ashley Albies. I'm co-chair of the Portland chapter of the National Lawyers Guild. You'll have to excuse me. I'm suffering from a little bit of a cold here. I'll do my best to speak clearly and not get anybody else sick. The Portland chapter of the National Lawyers Guild opposed the prospect of the city reengaging with the FBI's JTTF last year for several reasons, including concerns about the FBI's history, both recent and past, of trampling civil liberties, engaging in racial and political profiling, and the FBI's self-given authority to engage in conduct that would otherwise violate Oregon law. While we appreciate the information contained in this report and we appreciate the efforts to clarify the information contained in the report based on community input, and we do appreciate this opportunity to comment on the report, we still do continue to have concerns about the relationship that is ongoing between the Portland Police Bureau and the FBI. The chief reported that for each inquiry from the FBI, he was given notice of the stage of the investigation and the criminal nexus involved. And it remains a concern, and we echo that what you've heard from other people who have testified here today about this definition of criminal nexus or the lack thereof in the resolution or under Oregon law. We continue to urge the council to enshrine in the resolution the legal standard of reasonable suspicion under Oregon law. In addition, the report does not specify whether and how often the FBI's requests exceeded the scope of what was permissible for engagement under the resolution. In addition, as the ACLU has pointed out, the mayor has applied for secret clearance, but it's not yet been granted. And so we question whether members of the Bureau are working with the JTTF before the commissioner of in charge of the Bureau has the necessary authorizations to provide effective oversight. And again, I understand that you addressed that in your opening remarks, but that question still does remain. Can you provide adequate oversight without the level of clearance that those who are engaged have? We just note that the nation is in turmoil due to the current economic crisis, and Occupy Portland has sought to draw attention to many factors of economic and growing economic inequality, which are supported by federal, state, and local government through massive nonviolent demonstrations, nonviolent direct action, and civil disobedience. It's crucial that people's constitutional rights are protected, and the FBI has a well-documented history of targeting activists involved in people's movements as a way to squelch dissent and to protect an unjust system. We want to ensure that the JTTF cannot circumvent the rights protected under Oregon law and use the Portland Police Bureau to do so. Finally, the resolution calls for appropriate public information. There's been discussion, and it's a subjective term, as the community and the council has a different opinion on what constitutes appropriate public information. We support the requests of the ACLU, the League of Women Voters, Cop Watch, and others who have requests for the type and the stage of the investigation, the number of hours, and it's our hope that we will continue to engage with the city and to clarify what is appropriate. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you both. Does anyone want to bring up the chief or Alan or anybody?
Yeah, that's the chief.
Okay. Both of you, would you mind stepping forward?
So if the FBI has released the numbers and types of cases, why would we not?
They're talking about a national release, so a composite of what they've done across the United States. I don't know that they've done that for local jurisdictions. And then for us, I think it, because of the limited involvement, it would be counterproductive to our keeping the investigative processes at a secret level if we were to divulge the exact number of investigations and the exact number of hours.
Could you do it in ballpark, like less than 20 or less than 50 or less than 2,000?
Yes.
Why aren't we doing that?
Commissioner Fritz, have you had a briefing from the city attorney on this question?
No.
I have. And respectfully, I don't think this is a question that we should be probed with the chief in this forum until you've requested a briefing with the city attorney.
Well, I'm being asked to vote on this today. Let me ask another question. You have an Outlook calendar, I know, right?
Yes.
So do you document on your calendar when you meet with various, when you go to these meetings?
The executive briefings are in my calendar. Sometimes I would say my meetings with the special agent in charge are probably all in there.
Not everything happens at the meeting.
Yeah, not every, you know, some, my meetings certainly with staff like the lieutenant and the assistant chief happened frequently and on a more ad hoc basis.
Are the formal meetings, the number of formal meetings, is that public record?
Yes.
I guess what I'm looking for here, I appreciate the amendments that have been made, but in order for us to have the transparency and the accountability, I share some of the concerns that have been raised today, and I don't feel like I have enough information of the kind that I was expecting when I was voting for the resolution last year and saying that I believed it would increase that transparency.
And you're talking about specifically just the number of hours and number of investigations?
And the level of the investigations, yes.
Well, that's a policy issue set by the City Council, and the report did not call for that. And as I said earlier, the report includes a specificity of information that goes above and beyond what's called for in the report, and I think that's appropriate. I do think that what is in the report, and reasonable people can disagree, is exactly the right balance. And I would not be comfortable with the release of number of hours, number of cases, and the level of the cases in which they come in as part of this report. So I don't think it would have the desired result that I think well-intentioned people might seek by asking for that information. You can be working on a very low profile, people could read into that in terms of hours and types of cases and a whole bunch of other stuff, read into it inferences that are might or might not be true.
Thank you. And then one of the questions on the earlier assessment by the ACLU wanted to know, were we asked to assign offices outside of Portland? You said the report
states... No, we were not.
Okay. Thank you.
So I think it's important to add that when I first arrived on council, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, as Dan will recall, was a, and Sam certainly recalls, was on the consent agenda. And the very first time I was on council, it came up for renewal. I asked it to be pulled from the consent agenda and discussed. And my recollection is I was the only one not to support that iteration of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So I've had a pretty consistent history on this subject, and only until the arrival of Tom Potter was I able to get traction with some of the issues that I was concerned about, which does not include some of the data that's been referred to here today by Commissioner Fritz and others. My concern was more global and steeped in what I consider to be real-life violations of basic rights that were exemplified by a number of notorious cases in the country and in and around Portland, including Brandon Mayfield. I can tell you, as somebody who has pushed to get us to this place, I never intended, nor did the agreement last year require, that the number of hours that an officer or the cumulative number of hours that officers at the police bureau that are working with the JTTF be disclosed. These issues that we deal with respect to our city working with federal partners are ones of delicate balance, and certainly it is one of the more serious responsibilities we as a city council have in setting the policy for how we interact. And I appreciate and understand that balance. My concern is just as much for those innocent people who are conducting their lives in a way that we expect them to, being exposed to somebody who would harm them without knowing who they are, without having any consideration for their families, for their lives, would harm them to make some larger political statement that oftentimes is lost to many. My concern is as much to make sure that does not happen as it is that we don't unnecessarily harass people because they have a particular religious affiliation or because they are a particular race or they have political political points of views. And I do not, and I never intended, nor do would I even begin to approach disrupting that balance by getting in and trying to lose sight of the forest for the trees of what it is I'm trying to achieve, and that is to make sure we're as safe as we can be while at the same time respecting the rights of citizens of the United States, but in this case, particularly Portland, Oregon, to exercise their constitutional rights in all its various iterations. And speaking for myself, I think that this mayor and this chief have achieved that balance, and I appreciate the work. I've been part of the discussions with at least one member of the ACLU in these past few weeks, and I know it's been a lot of work, and it's been trying, and there have been some hurt feelings along the way, but I think you've done a good job in finding that balance.
Do you have another one? And then I
just had another question and following up from that. One of the requests was to do this, some tracking on a permanent basis so that in 5 or 10 years' time or sometime in the future, we would be able to see how things have been going. Is that something that you could and would do?
Yes.
Is that something that, because as was graciously made in the ACLU's letter, we're going to have a different mayor next year. And so we want to make sure that we're setting in process so that next year.
So we have that.
We do.
You just got it.
What was it?
He just said yes.
Okay, so.
What was the yes?
The yes was on, because I thought I was getting a yes last year and apparently I didn't. So what am I getting a yes on?
If we were to do composite tracking and report to council every 4 or 5 years, I don't think that would I would want to have the city attorney weigh in as well, but I don't think that's going to allow confidential investigative information to be leaked.
And you could also track your contacts so that you could see how that went over time, and you would.
Yes.
Thank you. And is that something that's
Well, I want to break that down a little bit because you just said yes, and you had a couple of things put in there together. She said contacts, so number of contacts, you're willing to keep track of that, and then the number of hours worked.
Specific to hours and number of investigations that we participated with the FBI on.
And then your personal, or the chief of police's personal interactions on requests.
I'll try and do a better job tracking my calendar, but again, those are, you know.
I don't think you can do that.
Sometimes I meet on an ad hoc basis with the lieutenant and the assistant chief and the special agent. I mean, we run into each other at meetings and other functions and have conversations about investigations. I don't know that I can track.
Chief, if I might, the requests and the hours worked, that's something that we can keep track of, right?
I'd have to, the requests, I'm not certain. The number of investigations we actually work on, absolutely.
Okay. So number of investigations we work on and the number of hours, approximate hours we work on those investigations.
Yes.
Mayor, I'm just going to state a standing objection to this discussion. And Commissioner Fritz is free to propose anything she wants. But I've spent a considerable amount of time the last week talking to the ACLU, the police chief, the city attorney, to people from your office. I've devoted dozens of hours previously on this when you were somehow managed to get a 5-0 vote. And I just respectfully do not think this is where we should be making policy. if this is sufficiently important, we can come back at some future point and discuss it. But this does not seem to me to be the right